Hi guys, welcome to episode 44 of the Untitled Gadget Podcast. Now, I know it's been a while, but, you know, life's been pretty hectic lately. There's been a lot of work, health challenges, and I think we just wanted a bit of a break given the entire world situation right now. But you know what gets you back into the grind or going again? Well, breaking through the mold and just trying to record the podcast again. And that's what we're doing. So this is your host for the week, Dhruv. And joining me is Akshay. Harish is taking a break this week, but hopefully he'll be back next week. Akshay, how have you been?
So it's been very busy, man, I guess. It's been almost a month since we've recorded an episode. I think we needed this break. But yeah, man, it's been a very busy month for that matter because of all the companies bombarding us with fucking products that they want to sell to you guys. And I mean, this is the time, you know, you start feeling the backlog because trust me, it's a lot. It's a lot. There's Samsung, there's Realme, there's OnePlus, there's Xiaomi, there's someone or the other coming out with new stuff every other week. Just to sell to you guys, but it makes our life hell.
I've lost complete track of the number of devices that launched. I think there was this number floating around on Twitter, 23 devices in the month
was it?
Of March, with like variants and stuff. But yeah, it's been bonkers.
Yeah, so I ignore the Oppo stuff. I ignore the Realme stuff. So that's like 22 devices gone right there.
Oh man, Realme. The designs on the Realme 8 and the 8 Pro. Interesting to say the least. I don't know.
What did I call it? I called it. Remember I said it in a private text that it looks like a unicorn shat something out of its asshole. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it totally does. And I mean, the damn phone could double up as a mirror. It's also. It's also Realme assuming that you're going to be a walking billboard for the service, for their phones.
It's gaudy a lot of things. It's gaudy.
Yeah. I get brand loyalty. Like, you know, I love Nikes and I was very happy to talk up Nokia phones back in the heyday. But I still do not want to walk around with a phone which has just the phone's brand name slapped on it.
Yeah, not for a brand that's just not even 3 years old. Sorry. Can't.
Yeah. So maybe that's four, the Realme. I don't know. Like is that a Realme 8 review? 8 Pro review?
Yeah, I have even the box fucking annoys me. I have it right behind me. Oh god, it looks so bad. Silver something. I don't know. What the fuck? I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, this has been a hard month because of everyone just bombarding our houses with smartphones that we can even. Comprehend because we can't even comprehend because there's so many of them and how many can you use at the same time, you know. it's a very difficult task. I mean, and writing like a 2,000 word review every week, maybe sometimes multiple times a day, gets to your head.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't see another phone for the next 5 months, 6 months,
I'll be very happy.
Would not care.
I will be very happy. I mean, it's the second wave of coronavirus in India, and to be honest, no one's gonna give a shit about smartphones as much as they did towards the end of 2020. So yeah, we're back to square one, and although I am excited for we can talk about this because it's everywhere, the Mi 11 Ultra. I'm genuinely excited for it. I want to see what that phone's all about. I want to hold it in my hand. I want to see how heavy it is. I want to use that camera.
That's what she said.
Well, back to it. I mean, we're not even 5 minutes into the episode and we've got a "that's what she said" joke.
Yeah.
But
I mean, so here's the thing about it. I'm very, very excited about the possibilities there. I mean, it's Xiaomi doing something interesting and different. Very interested about that. Some of the footage that I've been seeing out of it, like on the SuperSaf video and Mr. Who's the Boss, I think, not quite as impressive as I would have expected it to be. And but it looks like the natural bouquet that you're getting out of that sensor is incredible. So I'm very excited to see how this is like Xiaomi really pushing the flagship gamut for the brand. It might not be perfect at launch, but it's definitely nice to see the brand take some risks.
Yeah, it's something different. I mean, it's a very similar design we've seen with Poco, with a massive camera module, you know, rectangular shaped. But this is the first time we will be seeing it on a flagship phone. Mm-hmm. And apparently, from what I've seen, it looks like a very premium device. I think it's made out of ceramic, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm excited for that. I mean, you don't get many ceramic phones, to be honest. So yeah, let's see.
Also, like, really cool, like how they've used the screen from the Mi Band over at the back. Like, that's really smart. You know, you've got the economies of scale already going with the band. Just use the same screen. That's smart.
Yeah, whoever the designer was and whoever the logistic guy is and the product manager, whoever, was really smart to do that, to be honest. That's how you save money. That's how you make your business profitable. Use what you already have in a new way. So yeah,
absolutely. But yeah, I mean, broadly speaking, I'm kind of getting sick and tired of my house becoming a storehouse for phones and TVs. Like right this moment, I got a huge ass carton sitting right in front of me, and because my storage is full and I don't have place to keep it, and where the heck do I store away a 65-inch TV? Brands, please take it back. I don't have
a storehouse. I mean, I thought last year was bad, man, but the past 2 months it's just got worse. Oof, so much shit coming, launching and whatever, whatnot. But yeah, now what I've started telling the brands is, like, if you're not picking up your previous product, I don't want your new product. So please pick that shit up first. Only then I'll take your new stuff, because I really don't have storage space. That's what I do.
Yeah, no, it's becoming a real issue. And, like, I mean, to the point where I'm considering of just, like, renting out some storage space somewhere to
hell the units. Hell no. I am not going to spend extra money to store these fucking phones. There's no fucking way. No chance. They don't deserve that much credit.
Yeah. I mean, sure. If brands would listen and just take shit back, like, on time, I'm okay with that. I mean, and just for the listeners, just to let you know, like, when I say that, I need to get storage to keep these phones, it's not, like, as if I get to keep these phones. A lot of brands, what they'll do is they'll let you keep the phone for, like, 6 to 8 months or till the end of the financial year, and then they'll come picking for the phones, which could very well be 1 year. So that's
and sometimes what they do is, it's the end of the financial year, we need all the devices back. I'm like, guys, you didn't ask about your fucking product for the entire year. I cannot find all of them in, like, one day. You need to give me a little bit of time. Let me find this shit.
That is the best.
I'm like,
when they do it at 1 day's notice.
Yeah, I tell them, I'm not your fucking servant. If you want this urgently, feel free to come over to my house and dig through the shit yourself and take it home. But I am not doing it. I have a day job that I need to complete. Often leaves me tired by the evening. So if I am in the mood to look for it, I will do it. Otherwise, you need to give me my own time to look for stuff and I'll send it back. If it's urgent, please. You already know my address because you keep sending me shit there. Just come over, pick it out yourself and take it away. But I am not putting in the legwork. There's no fucking way. Sorry to say that. Yeah. I don't get paid for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, our job right now, it's like, in addition to the job, it's like a full-time logistics management job as well.
No, I've become a warehouse manager, man. It's like I'm playing fucking Jenga with all these boxes. What the fuck?
We should do that. Like, next time we meet, we should play Jenga with phone boxes. Like, there'll be a whole lot of Realme boxes there.
It'll be a fucking an entire tower of yellow boxes that you will probably feel like kicking down.
All right, let's get started with the tech stuff for the week.
Though, sorry, guys, it's been a month since we've ranted, so yeah, we had to get that out.
Yeah, it's been like 2-3 weeks since we met and, like, bitched about tech, so definitely that.
Yeah, it's been a
while. All right, cool. So OnePlus. Lots of OnePlus phones. 3 OnePlus phones, a OnePlus watch, and that is a lot of things that happened over the last month. A lot of things that we didn't cover. The OnePlus watch embargo lifted earlier this week. So maybe let's get started with that, because that's, like, the freshest thing of the block right now.
Mm-hmm. Don't get
thoughts,
it.
Akshay. Okay. And that's our OnePlus watch section wrapped up.
I mean, okay, It's a good effort. I would say that. I will say that in terms of design, it's a good effort. It's not a bad effort. It's a little bit more premium than all the Amazfit stuff that you get. I really don't like the silicone straps. They feel very, very cheap. So it's kind of a huge contrast between the two, the body of the watch face, and then the straps look like shit. Sound like, or feel like shit. And they don't feel good to wear either. It does the job of a fitness tracker. And that's the only thing you should be looking at it as. I mean, it's not really a true smartwatch in the sense it's not like your Galaxy watches or your Apple watches. I mean, OnePlus loves to compare itself to these brands and their products, but it's nowhere close to them. Nowhere close to them. There's nothing innovative there. There's nothing new there. It's the same stuff that you can even find in a Mi Band, the newest one. Be it the SpO2 reading sensor, be it the heart rate sensor, fitness tracking, notification management, whatever the whatever else. Yeah. Apart from answering calls, you can do all of that on the Mi Band.
I think a closer example would be the Mi Watch Revolve, because that's basically what the OnePlus Watch is. It is an Amazfit that is priced 50% higher. A 20% price hike, I would have understood for the better the premium look, to be honest. Like, I don't think the OnePlus brand name commands that much of a premium, but sure. I mean, it is somebody very well built. Yes, but okay. So, like, for example, the Amazfit is completely plastic on the back. This has less plastic, more stainless steel. It is very well built, sure. But at the end of the day, it is still a fitness tracker. It's not a smartwatch, so don't go in expecting that. It is also ridiculously overpriced for what you're getting. It's OnePlus definitely overreaching here. And I mean, in many cases, like, we'll come to the phones in a bit. And over there, I feel the price is sort of justified, and the question becomes more about, are people willing to pay that price for a OnePlus phone? But here it is a simple matter of the watch just being way too expensive. Like, when you get the same stuff for 8,000 to 10,000 rupees, why should you spend 16,000 rupees? I know there's this promotion price of 14,000 rupees going on, but is a promo price. That's not a permanent price drop. So yeah, that is immaterial. Like, it's a 50% margin on top. And there are a few features, yes, I get it. Like, it's got the inbuilt storage, which everybody is streaming. Like, it's not a selling point anymore, really, truly speaking.
Yeah.
And it's got the ability to make calls. Sure, you can charge an extra 1,000 rupees for that. The same watch at like 12,000 rupees, maybe even 13,000 rupees. Yes, like, sure. Great stuff. 16,000, definitely.
No way. Not. I mean, you know, even some of the stuff that it says it can do, it doesn't do well. Just one of the basic things that, you know, for example, music listening on the watch. For example, you can connect your Bluetooth earphones and listen to music on the watch, but you cannot stream music from Spotify or any of the streaming applications for that matter. It doesn't support that. So the only option you have is transferring music to the watch yourself in local storage, which I don't think anyone does apart from maybe Dhruv and I, because, you know, Dhruv loves to own music. I own music because of my other night job. I have to buy stuff.
So here's the thing. Like, I get that feature on something like a Garmin, where somebody is running marathons or ultra marathons and they don't want a phone around. But nobody is running an ultra marathon using a OnePlus watch.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that.
And you shouldn't be as well.
Yeah, and again, another feature to come to in a second. Here's the thing, like, a lot of the US-based reviews had major issues with fitness tracking. I had no such issues. It works. And this is possibly down to a firmware difference, because the Indian firmware has Cricket and a few other things built in, and support for the OnePlus TV, which isn't even available in the US. I feel that OnePlus rushed the firmware, at least on the global versions. The Indian version works fine for fitness tracking, but the bigger issue is with the app. The app is half baked. you can't access granular data on fitness workouts, and when you and in the few places where you can, it's not enough. Like, okay, sure, it'll give you an average figure of your heart rate during a run, but the places where it spikes, you can't go there and see like what was the spike or, you know, specifics like that. So yeah, it's the software which is massively lacking. And I mean, once it's there, I think like 12,000 rupees, it's a decent enough watch. But yeah, like I think it's a big, big miss for OnePlus for a product category that was really hotly anticipated.
You know what I'm actually annoyed about? You know how people like to have these hot takes on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. And there was this reviewer from the US, I forget the person's name and the website that person worked for. But that person was like, oh, I love this watch because, you know, every other review. And the reason why I'm saying that, because that person saw your review and Harish's review, because that's the one that went fucking apeshit crazy all over the internet. And that person saw your reviews and she was like, oh, you know, like you're comparing it to the Apple Watch or whatever. And, you know, I love this watch, etc. And you have no idea what you're talking about, etc. Something like that. Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing here. I mean, she or he, I don't know who that person was, had an entire thread of opinion on this on the Apple Watch. Now, I read that thread and I was like, wow, you haven't even read these reviews, because I have. And there's actually both reviews compare the OnePlus Watch to budget alternatives like the Amazfit stuff. And that means your hot take was just based on the headline, which means you really shouldn't be doing journalism, to be honest. Secondly, whoever that person was clearly doesn't know how the Indian market works, because I also understand why, because they're in the US and they don't have as many options as we have over here. Budget offerings that do a better job. And that is why the OnePlus Watch did not get favorable reviews, because it was reviewed by people who have seen better stuff for cheaper. And my message to this person on Twitter is, please, please read reviews at full length next time before doing these hot takes, because what you are doing is you're misinforming people on the internet. You're probably convincing people to buy something that isn't really that good. And there are cheaper alternatives that are mentioned in the review, and you should look at those first and then have your hot takes on Twitter.
You make a really good point there, Akshay. And I mean, it's a little funny how the owner, like global reviewers, like the onus lies on them to always keep the US market in perspective. But that's the same rules don't really apply to the US-based journalists, do they?
Which is even more idiotic, because I have to say this, because people in the US can buy these cheaper smartwatches from websites like AliExpress and all. They don't even have import duties on these things. So they can buy these Amazfit stuff and, you know, everything else online. So it's not that it's not accessible to them. It is. It's just that they are not informed about it because of hot takes like these.
Yeah, I mean, you'd imagine that they would be... I mean, it. End of the day, like, part of tech journalism is also, you know, to spread awareness. And through awareness, you want more options in your local markets. When the entire... And I know you have... I also use Apple products and you like Apple products. But I'm just going to take Apple as an example. But if you look at US-based journalism, it's such a circle jerk of just promoting Apple. Sure, they make good products, but then again, if that's all you're ever going to promote, how do you even encourage a broader ecosystem or more options or more alternatives?
It's just a stupid thing, to be honest. And that's because they probably aren't exposed to a lot more products. As simple as that. I've always been baffled when I saw the OnePlus 8 reviews last year. They're like, oh, what a wonderful camera. It takes amazing pictures. I'm like, really? What the fuck are you saying? I can't even get it to focus on shit over here. Do we have different phones? What the hell are you talking about? Sometimes they have a very, very... They pigeonhole themselves into brand names that they've heard of. Like OnePlus, like Apple, like Samsung. And automatically they have a bias without knowing sometimes, and they, you know, it really is a circle jerk kind of a situation over there. And it's probably not because of their own fault. It's because all the products that launch there are very limited as compared to India and other markets. We are spoiled for choice in India, and they just don't get it.
But actually, here's the thing. Like, I work for a US-based publication. Like, it's not as if journalists do not have access or, you know, the potential for access to these devices. Journalism in the US is... And journalism in the US is so much easier than India. We are, like, still privileged enough because of, you know, the number of years that we've put in and the connections that we've built. We can still get our hands on most things that we want to. In the US, it's much, much easier. And even then, you know, this pigeonholing, it's... And once again, it's not a ding on Apple or Samsung. They're doing their thing. They're making good products. But if that's all that you're promoting, nothing else ever has a chance.
It's because, that's why you have these hot takes on Twitter, which is a load of bullshit. It's simple as that. And there are a lot of people out there who believe these hot takes just because they see it's got a lot more likes and retweets than other people who've tweeted about the same product. And they think it's a great product, but it really isn't. I'm sorry to say that. As I said, the OnePlus Watch gets the job done, but it's nowhere close to any other smartwatch that you can get anywhere in the world, be it Garmin, be it Apple Watch, be it Samsung Galaxy watches, even a lot of Amazfit models. It's nowhere close to that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, remember, I don't know, when you open the menu, have you seen how fucking... it looks like a knockoff smartwatch from AliExpress, doesn't it? When you're scrolling menus.
I put up a photograph on Twitter the other day, and it has the exact same interface as an Amazfit. Exact same.
Because it probably is lifted from there. And, you know, in one of my... when I published the review, someone commented saying, it looks like a child's toy. Someone said that.
Which is just kind of sad. Like, because it doesn't feel like one. Like, there I got to give it to them. At least the body of the watch is very premium. But it's not 16,000.
It doesn't look... Yeah, and doesn't look it from afar either, to be honest. It does look like a kid's watch.
Yeah. Oh, well, enough about the OnePlus Watch. Don't buy it. Buy it. Look at one of the Amazfit alternatives. Read our reviews for the Xiaomi Mi Watch Revolve and the Realme Watch S Pro. Those two are not that great. They have issues with fitness tracking. So maybe don't get one of those Amazfit watches. Yeah. Generally reliable. Definitely worth looking into. Or
all the Samsung watches.
Yeah, but those are double the price.
Yeah, that is true. But they're really good.
But there's always Fitbit. And Fitbit is fantastic. Try to test it.
Yep.
Works great. Cool. So let's move on to one of the phones then. How about the OnePlus 9R, since that's like an India-specific device and it's the most recent launch?
And the most pointless launch?
To be honest, I've got a contradictory opinion here. I don't think the OnePlus 9R is pointless. I think it makes the OnePlus 9 pointless.
I know. I get where you're coming from, because you really don't need two Snapdragon 888 chipset phones at different prices. But the reason why I think that 9R is a little pointless is because the 8T is still worth it. I mean, it's almost... the performance is probably the same. I really don't agree. This is more like... I think this phone was literally launched as a way to emulate Samsung's, founder edition phones. That's what it feels. That's what it feels like to me. Like a cheaper phone of an older model, reskinned it, remodeled it. And, I mean, if you really are not selling your 80 phones, then discontinue that and sell the 9R. I have no problems with that. But if you're selling both of these phones...
The 80 is more expensive.
Sorry, go ahead.
And it's the exact same phone.
Exactly. So, I don't understand what they're doing. Make the 80 cheaper. You don't need to launch a new product. Probably tying up your money into that product in the timeline. Make the 80 a little bit cheaper, or the same price as the 9R, and get rid of your inventory.
So, yeah. I mean, you make a good point there, that they should probably just discontinue the OnePlus 8T. And I have a feeling that that's what they're going to do anyway once the inventory runs out. My point with the 9R is that, like, between the 9 and the 9R, it's a 10,000 rupee price gap, which is a fairly significant amount. And both the performance benefit isn't drastic. It is on paper, but in real life, it really isn't. The 888 sucks more battery, which is definitely noticeable. And the cameras are not that great on the 9. Like, it's not a huge upgrade over the one on the 8 on the 9R. So save the 10,000 rupees and just get the 9R instead. And to be fair, it's not as if the 9R is a very good deal either. But we'll come to that in a second. Akshay, your thoughts?
The way I see it is, I think the it's like having your money stuck in two product lines that probably aren't going to perform mm-hmm. well. Because one of them is already 6 months old and you're not dropping the price. And the other one, 9R, is more like, why are you launching this phone when it's not much of a big upgrade compared to the 8T and to the newer phones, the 9 and the 9 Pro. I sort of agree, but for some reason, the camera experience on the OnePlus 9 for me was actually quite decent. It's not as good as, you know, that I would like it to be, or even as the 9 Pro. But I took some incredible shots of my dogs. I think you saw that. Mm. I sent that to you, remember? So maybe that was just by luck. Not sure.
And that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to come to, right? Like, it's all right. And like, the 9R has all the optimizations from the 8T because it is literally just the 8T in a new shell. I mean, between the two, is the marginal increment, I mean, okay, so the ultra wide camera on the 9 is definitely massively ahead, but just mm-hmm. I'm talking about the primary camera, it's not a night and day difference between the, if even if you compare it to the 8T, in case you haven't reviewed the 9R yet. I'm not sure if it's worth the 10,000 rupees premium.
I agree. It's not worth it at all. I think if someone says, should I buy the OnePlus 9R, I would still suggest them to get the 8T. But since you mentioned they haven't really dropped the price, I would actually tell them to wait instead.
Yeah.
And see whichever is cheaper.
And here's the thing. So I was doing a bit of research for my 9R review, which should be going up today, tomorrow, whenever. And the 9R is also not that great a deal. It's 40,000 rupees. You can get a Mi 10T, which is better in most ways. Has a better camera for sure. For 33 or 34,000 now, you can get one of the Vivo phones, which gives you all of that, all of the same as the OnePlus 9R, and a better camera for 36,000. There is the Mi 10T as well, of course. And yeah, I mean, and if you really want a great phone, then there's the S20, S20 FE 5G edition, which is a little more, but it gives you a whole lot more, like a much better 5G band support, better cameras, and yeah, I mean, it's got 3 years of software.
I have it
right
in front of me. Yep.
So,
3 or 4, I think Samsung said 4.
4 years of software updates, yeah.
Yeah, Samsung does 4 now.
So, you know, it just adds up.
And let's not forget, you're forgetting one more thing, the Mi 11 series that's launching soon.
Yeah, so the 9R in itself is not a very good deal, like, let alone the fact that it kind of makes the 9 redundant. So I'm not sure what OnePlus is going at here. It's not...
They're going to be undercut by Xiaomi in a matter of a week, or maybe a few days, actually. Mm-hmm. Fuck. So, with similar specs, because it's not one phone it's not only the Mi 11 Ultra, they're launching probably two other devices. And I bet you one of them is going to compete with the 9R.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100%.
The 9R and the 9R. Like, basically, I this is just pure speculation at this point, but I think Xiaomi is going to have 3 phones to go up against this trio of OnePlus, you know, take on OnePlus the 9R, phones. 9 and the 9 Pro.
And they will undercut them, that's for sure. At least on 2 models.
I feel the Mi 11 Ultra is going to be more expensive, but that's deservedly so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said 2 models. Like, I don't think OnePlus will be able to handle it.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, the competition is good. It's definitely good. But for OnePlus, yeah, it's not looking that great. At least 2 phones this year. The phones are fine. It's just that they've lost the edge, which they always had. The price advantage. That's no longer the case. And the performance advantage doesn't entirely hold true either, because everybody's giving you the same specs.
Yeah. What do you think about the 9 Pro though? I really like
that. The 9 Pro is a fantastic phone. And it's only hamstrung by the fact that I'm not sure if people are willing to pay that kind of money for a OnePlus phone. The phone is fantastic.
Yeah. It's a great phone. The cameras are great. actually, for the first time in my life, I've enjoyed using a OnePlus camera. Mm-hmm. The only disappointing thing that the only complaint that I have is probably the placement of the fingerprint sensor. But that's
I kind of got used to it. I don't like the selfie camera on it, but I don't use it nearly enough, so it's fine. I've always carried either an iPhone or a Pixel phone alongside my primary device, whatever I'm using at that time, because nothing really, you know, scratched that camera itch. I'm perfectly satisfied with the cameras on the OnePlus 9 Pro. It's not perfect, but it does the job more than enough.
No camera is perfect. But
And the ultra wide camera, that's incredible.
OnePlus has good things going on and some really serious bad things going on.
Hasn't that been the case for quite some time now?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it for OnePlus. What else do we have for this week?
I guess so. Well, we have a new Apple event happening in the next few days as well.
Yeah. What are you expecting? I think we'll finally see the AirTags.
99%. I mean, at this point, if they don't launch it, then they are just shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, they've launched third-party support for tracking devices and trackers and whatnot for the Find My app. And I'm 100% sure. I think the AirTags have been rumored for 2 years now. It's high time they launch it. I think they're ready. And we'll probably see it. It's probably going to use the ultra-wideband sensors that the phone and the tracker will have. And I think they've already announced earlier that, you know, that you can locate your lost stuff if other iPhones are around that, your items, your lost items. So that's a cool thing to have. It's like a network, an iPhone-only network that can be used, iPhone or iPad or whatever, whichever has that ultra-wideband thing to locate your lost stuff. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to be a little more precise than it has been before. And if I get one, I'm probably going to put it on my dogs.
Yeah, that's actually a very smart use case for it, even for the Samsung smart tags. But the way that I look at it, and this is like probably not happening, and it's like a hot take of sorts. We've been hearing about the AirTags for such a long time that by now, I feel that Apple might have just thought, you know, let's just get the third party ecosystem ready and we don't even need to bother with the hardware.
That is possible, but knowing Apple, they've invested quite a bit on the ultra wideband thing already in the
So that's with support for the third party ecosystem, and they still make money off that from the certification program.
Yeah, but AirTags would be a first party solution that would probably work a little bit better, hopefully. I don't know, I'm just speculating now. And you know how people are. They're crazy about Apple products.
The reason why I come to this is just because of, you know, historical precedence with AirPower and even MagSafe. Like, Apple itself hasn't really done that much with MagSafe over the last year. To be sure,
it's just the beginning.
Yeah, even the third-party ecosystem has been, it's not doing that much. Except China. China is coming out with some incredible products that you can't ship to India right now.
Some wacky shit. But yeah, I mean, I think Anker has come out with the MagSafe power bag and some other stuff people have come out with in the US. But yeah, I mean, they're slowly but surely they'll get there. I mean, it's the most successful phone they've had in years. So, I mean, they better be making MagSafe accessories if people want to make money in the accessory.
Yeah.
And I think AirTags and third-party trackers would be another thing that people can look at.
Yeah. I think my concern with AirTags or for that matter, even with Samsung's smart tags is how well they'll work out in India, because a lot of these things, they rely on creating a network of sorts with similar products. Tile was also doing the same thing where it created a Tile mesh of sorts. And I don't see this becoming, you know, the next big thing in India, which, I mean, I wish it would, because there's a ton of use cases. Putting them on your dogs, your dog runs off, you know exactly where your dog is. But till the time there's mass adoption, it it's not going to be as useful here.
Yeah. I mean, you have to start somewhere, right? But I think the third-party solutions would be more popular here in India because they could be cheaper than Apple's AirTags. And it could also be that Apple may not even launch them in India. So let's see what happens.
I'm not really sure what are the restrictions on usage of the ultra-wide band radio space in India. That might also be
an issue. I don't think there are any issues with that because we already have phones that have that, like the Samsung S20 series, the iPhones. They already have that, those ultra.
No, but they're not using them for anything, bands. Right? Like the Galaxy Smart Tags also did not launch in India.
Yeah, so I don't know. Let's see. I have no idea how it will work, if they have permission from the government or not. It could be a Pixel 5 situation all over again.
Yeah. There's also the mini LED iPad Pro, which is rumored nice. Quite nice, I guess.
It's going to be nice, but that's about it. I mean, there's a rumor of a new Apple Pencil that I've seen pictures of it. Let's see.
What's it even going to do?
I mean, it's not that... I don't know. I mean, it's going to have different tips and whatnot.
They could have done that with the first gen.
Long time ago. It's, I mean, the iPad Pro is more like a generational... update to what we already have with probably a mini LED display, but it's not entirely sure they will do that. Could be LTAP also. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally love an OLED panel on, you know, one of the iPads. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, knowing Apple, that's probably going to shoot up the price by $200-$300, which I'm not willing to pay.
Exactly.
Performance wise, I don't see anybody who's really, you know, topping off the performance on an iPad Pro. So it's going to be faster. Will it matter? Not at all.
It's going to be the best tablet there is. That's about it. I think there's also a rumor of a new Apple TV with a new Apple remote. Thank fucking God, because this one is fucking annoying as hell. It's probably the worst remote ever designed.
I agree.
And Apple TV with updated specs, you know, with the latest processor, SoC at least, could actually make the new Apple TV a gaming console, because it's probably going to have upgraded storage as well, so that you can store more games. There is definitely going to be something to do with Apple Arcade and Apple TV. And we've been hearing about a new Apple TV for a long while as well. So there's a good chance that may happen as well. Then there's rumors of two AirPods launching, or maybe at least one for sure, and a design update of the OG AirPods, because those look old as hell now, and I think the new ones are going to be inspired by the AirPods Pro, but it won't have ANC.
Yeah, they'll just drop the stick finally, I guess. I mean, the AirPod design has been copied to high heaven now, so. Yeah, I think it's time to change it up.
Realme being the biggest culprit, literally copied everything.
Xiaomi started it. Like, we're not going to diss just Realme here.
I mean, Xiaomi made little changes here and there so that it doesn't look identical, but the Realme ones look identical. Like, identical. The only differences are the placements of the microphones. That's it.
That's true. So, yeah, I mean, new AirPods, the regular AirPods, I have no interest in those. They're fine. They don't...
I think there might be a new AirPods Pro as well. I think it's 2 years old already now. And
hey, I think I'm a little ho-hum on the AirPods Pro as well, simply because there's more than a few options and everybody else is doing plenty great. You look at the Oppo and Enco X, those things are incredible for the price. Not just for the price, they sound incredible and they have really good ANC. And you've got more than a few options now. So... I mean, I've tried them out for a bit. There are a few things which I did not like, especially like given how close the Apple ecosystem is supposed to work. The handover between Macs and an iPad, it wasn't really as seamless as I would have wanted it to be. And those are the kind of things that I would be paying the premium for. It's not as if I'm buying an AirPod just, you know, for the sound quality. Which I can get elsewhere.
But for an But for an Apple user, Oppo means nothing.
Fine.
Realme means nothing.
It's not.
You need to understand. You need to understand that.
That's the brand. That's the brand aspect of the product. I'm purely talking from a technical point of view.
It's also convenience. It's also the handoff feature is one tiny thing that, yeah, I understand it could be problematic. For me, it's worked quite a few times. Sometimes it hasn't. But it's all the overall integration, software integration with spatial audio, and if you're using AirPods Pro, the transparency mode, it just works the way it should work. To be honest, I'm pretty sure the Oppo Enco earbuds are, they sound way better, but to an Apple user, it doesn't really matter what they sound like.
Yeah,
I might sound snobbish, but that's because Apple users are like that. I can't help it. If they're stuck in an ecosystem, they're going to stick to it. And I mean, there's a reason why Oppo, Realme, everyone started coming out with earbuds, is because AirPods are the highest selling TWS earbuds out there, and they will forever be the highest selling ones, no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes more money than the entire iPod business did for them.
It's been about 2 years since the last AirPod update.
Yeah, that was not an update. That was just, I mean, it looked the same. Yeah. It just had a new chip that from which you can just call up Siri.
So it absolutely makes sense that there'll be an upgrade, because 2 years, that means the batteries are starting to die out now.
Yeah, and people want to get new stuff, so that's what they will get. And same with the AirPods Pro as well. So, I understand what people will say. It's not, if you are an Oppo and Co user, the AirPods are probably not meant for you in the first place, because you already have the better option with you.
Sure.
Right. I'm never going to find an iPhone user using Oppo earphones ever in my life.
You do know, right, that I use those Oppos with my iPhone.
You are the weirdest one I've ever met. So let's not, you are the exception to the rule to everything in life. But I'm talking general public right now. I will not find someone like that. You can call them ignorant as much as you want, and they are ignorant. For picking AirPods every single time.
No, it makes sense, right? Like the average guy on the street, like he's going to buy an Apple phone, he'll be like, oh, give me the Apple earphones, and that's it. Like he doesn't want to do the research. So it absolutely makes sense.
I mean, I know a lot of people who got AirPods, not because they're into music, not because they need it, not because they want it, just because it was a statement.
Look, right? I'll put it like this.
You have those idiots as well.
I'll put it like this. Rhythm was wanted to buy AirPods for her iPad only because of the incredible cases and accessories ecosystem around AirPods. So, yeah.
There you go.
I get it. Like, yeah, not everybody gives that much of a shit about audio quality, or, you know, it's the convenience of it which matters.
It literally is that. And you really cannot blame Apple for doing something so magnificently well. I mean, they've got people behind their walled garden, and kudos to them for achieving that, man, because no one else can do that right now.
That's true. Like even Samsung isn't as successful as Apple is. And
no one will be.
Oh, hey, I just discovered like there is one more topic to talk about, and that's the death of LG.
I mean, it was high time coming, I guess.
I see you just drank to that.
See, I applaud LG for being a little out of the box when it comes to their smartphone designs. Literally, they are the only ones who are doing something different than everybody else with the LG Wing and whatnot. But unfortunately, it's their own becoming, because they really didn't support their phones the way they should have. They didn't update the phones that often. They didn't update the OS. They weren't committed to the smartphone business, I would say, as much as Samsung. I mean, they're Korean competitor. It's not like they couldn't do it. It's the Sony case all over again.
Exactly what I was going to come to. You know, it's a classic case of the right hand not speaking to the left hand, where the hardware was incredible. Like, you're absolutely right when you say that LG was... And I am actually sad that LG Mobile is shutting down, because those guys, I mean, over the last 6 years, some of the most interesting phones of the year have been made by LG. they were let down by terrible marketing and to an equal but I think lesser extent bad software support. Software support is important. It isn't the be-all and end-all, but at least
but it's important.
It is important for sure. But I mean, software support is something, you know, like the vocal masters would have made an issue about, but would have also become a greater priority for LG if they actually sold that many phones. They just didn't sell that many phones, and that's bad marketing. And I know that closely from an India point of view, where
we all do.
Where these phones were not pushed at all, and misplaced priorities where devices which were not fast sellers were being promoted. Also, all of those experiments, they need to be backed up with devices that are doing volumes. And LG had nothing in the volume segment. LG had these really cool high-end phones, but to sustain that, you need phones that are selling volumes and generating the profits for you.
I mean, just look at Samsung. I mean, majority of the profit doesn't come from the S21 Ultras and the Note 20 Ultras. It comes from the A52 or the A72 or the M series. So I think they didn't have a base for selling smartphones to the masses, especially when you operate in a country like India, where there are brands that are not even 3 years old outdo you in business, like Realme. So it's not that it's not possible, and Realme makes some utter garbage products, but they're still growing by like 19% every year or something. At least 2020, they grew by 19%. That's ridiculous. So you can do it. I think it's also that they didn't have enough commitment from the corporate side. Probably people weren't as committed as they should have been.
And that's exactly why I would put the blame on marketing more than anything else, you know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a combination of a whole lot of things happening in the back end that we aren't even aware of. Internal politics, bureaucracy, whatever you want to call it, everything is possible in this situation. What makes me sad is that LG will not be coming out with a rollable phone because they showed that off. It's at CES this year. We may not see it, but that's fine. What that also means is that LG will start concentrating on its display business and start supplying this fabulous displays to other companies. So you never know, we might see it from someone else. TCL just showed off that new phone. Mm-hmm. Remember? I don't know, you saw this week, right? Which extends and folds at the same time. So LG could probably make that happen for other people.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm probably going to pick up some of the LG phones that I'd been eyeing for a while anyway, with all these fire sales going on. And I'm conflicted between picking up the G8X or the Wing first. I mean,
Wing.
Yeah, the Wing is cool.
It has to be the Wing. It has to be the Wing.
Yeah, I guess.
It's different. It's different from everything else. There's a wow factor to it. And it probably does everything as the G8. Thank you, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah. I mean, I took the G7, I think, to Cuba with me. And some of the most iconic photographs that I got, like the most memorable photographs that I got on that trip, were shot on an LG phone. Like, those phones actually had really good cameras. They had everything going for them. But, like, bad software support.
They dropped the ball.
Like, nobody wanted to spend 70,000 rupees on an LG phone at that time. If that same phone was like 45, 50,000, if that same phone was marketed well, they would have had a fighting chance.
They would have sold a lot of units. They would have a good business going on in India right now. I know probably all over the world.
And the audio quality. The audio quality was incredible.
And it's not like the brand does not have value. LG has great brand value, especially for the televisions all over the world. So it's not even that it's viewed as an inferior brand. It is one of the best companies out there for home appliances, for refrigerators, for air conditioners, and whatever the hell. It's not like they don't have brand value. They have stock in their brand, and they just drop the ball.
They even have legacy value from like a smartphone point of view. Like, everybody at some point has used one of those LG feature phones and the early
phones. LG was technically the first touchscreen smartphone, the LG Prada. It came a few months before the iPhone. I mean, people forget this, but that was the first smartphone, technically, in the world.
With
it had apps.
Capacitive touchscreen.
Capacitive. Yeah, capacitive touchscreen, but it was a few months before the iPhone in 2007. So, you know, it's not like they haven't innovated before. They have. It's just that I guess they just dropped the ball. I guess they didn't pay attention to the market as close to as, you know, other guys.
If you think about it, like even ultra-wide cameras, it's LG which popularized it. The curved display, the curved... You remember the G Flex with the back which could repair itself?
Yeah. And let's not forget audiophiles with big quotation marks. Okay. Let's just say you want to have a better audio experience on a smartphone. LG was the only company doing that with their DACs.
Yeah.
I mean, please don't call yourself an audiophile because... I don't even want to get to that conversation with you if you're listening to music on a phone and you want to call yourself an audiophile. But no, let's not go there. But people who generally liked higher bitrate audio experience with a DAC that could actually, you know, support it and render output that actually is decent enough for you to listen better than everyone else. It was LG phones. Xiaomi got high res audio on their phones way later, and they don't even offer it on all their models, but LG did.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the way that you look at it, like high res certification is quite simply put, it's like a meaningless thing. It's you just go to the Japan Audio Society and you can get high res audio certification based on a hardware spec sheet.
Yeah.
But that's not how audio works. Sure, Qualcomm chips, all of them can decode high-res audio. But then again, you need a dedicated chip. And LG was using what? It was using an ESS chip? They never use Cirrus Logic. They always use the ESS chips. But a dedicated chip which could, one, it... I mean, the biggest advantage here, sure, they always said quad DAC or whatever, but that quad DAC, it's not as if it had four DACs, but the advantage was that if you have great headphones, this phone can actually drive those headphones, has the power to push the or in simple terms, if you use those headphones with a regular phone, there is not enough power in there to push up the volume
power. Yeah,
and these phones could, let alone the fact that the amplification stage itself and the DAC stage was vastly superior to anything built into a phone. So even with the regular, you know, reasonable quality earphones, there was a noticeable jump.
It would sound better.
There was a noticeable jump in audio quality. And I mean, in a world when everybody was giving up on headphone jacks, LG stuck to it and, you know, kept on offering that great experience.
You know, you mentioned that you can get the high-res certification for that Japan Society. Mm. And you know who started that? Sony started that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Oh, well. Anyway, so I'll raise my coffee mug to LG. It was a good run. Definitely worth picking up one if you're a bit of a smartphone collector. Prices should go down soon. Like even further on.
They already have.
I mean, they've gone down on Flipkart. They'll go down on OLX or whatever soon enough. Because people are hoarding right now and these things are not going to sell.
Yeah, but we'll see LG's legacy in other phones for sure. Yeah,
definitely.
For sure.
So, what else do we have? Do we have anything else?
I think we are reaching time now.
Yeah. Did you watch anything cool lately?
I'm watching Pawn Stars.
Did I hear that right?
The History Channel Pawn Stars.
Okay. I did not hear that right.
So I've been binge watching that because why the hell not? Yeah. You know, like it's good reality TV that actually educates you. You learn a lot of new shit, a lot of new stuff, and you get to see how valuable things are. And sometimes I've seen G.I. Joe playsets there that breaks my heart because I used to own some of them and I see they're selling for like $3,000 and I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
I feel you, man. Like because I was looking at some of the old classic G.I. Joes and the most basic ones are going for like 5,000 rupees on eBay now or Amazon now, Amazon India. And I used to have that giant, the plane.
The Firejet, the firefighter, right? The gray one.
The fighter jet.
And you would clock it, the wings would open.
That thing was incredible. And that thing cost like
$500
back in the day. Today, it's like, I don't know, $6,000.
And it could even shoot up the parachute. Like, if you want to do a parachute thing. It was incredible. Fuck, they don't make toys like that anymore, man. What the fuck?
And I so regret like letting go of it when I was shifting houses. And I'm like, holy shit, this thing is valuable today.
Yeah. I saw another episode where there was a He-Man collection and there was a set of Skeletor and the Panther and He-Man and the Tiger with the outfits and the armor and everything. And I had both of them. And that is super valuable as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the Panther was so great. It felt like you're touching velvet. You remember that?
I know. It's funny like how we never really valued these toys that much as kids. Like, yeah, I mean, we use them as toys and look at them today.
Yeah. I know, right? Oh. But yeah, so I've been watching a lot of Pawn Stars with, you know, seeing some incredible books, guns, and what, you know, the world of color. Oh, I saw an episode where the guy went to England and he went to one of the the prop companies, right? And he had a Han Solo screen used blaster.
Okay.
From the first movie, and he was about to buy it for $1 million. Of course, he didn't, but we got to see that, and it's still there. Like you can, I mean, he's not selling. He's like it's the first time people got to see it ever, apart from the movies.
I got a show recommendation for you. I binged this show recently. It's called Them. It's on Amazon Prime, and it is incredible. It is the most unsettling show that I've seen in at least 2 years now. And it's also the most impactful show. While the base theme is racism in the US.
Oh, I've seen the poster.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a woman with a young child, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to see the show. Yeah. I think it's like the first or the second thing directed by this director called Lil Marvin. And the acting is fantastic. The cinematography is fantastic. It's shot like a movie. It's basically Get Out, but amped up by 10. And the show just does not back down. Like every episode, it just ramps up again and again and again. And you'll be hooked. Like this is a show you start watching once. You're going to... I mean, I couldn't take in more after 5 episodes in a sitting. But over 2 days, like I just wrapped this up and... It's really, really good. Definitely worth a watch.
It sounds quite serious. And the reason why I'm not watching it because Sana and I are not on the Office binge. So, I mean, literally you can't make that show in today's day and age, man. What a fucking show. So we're watching that again. And so we'll switch to that once we are done with Office. Speaking of TV shows, did you hear Amazon's Lord of the Rings costs $500 million.
I did, and it better be good if it costs that much.
I mean, I'm excited for that because if they spent so much money on Lord of the Rings, it better be good. That's more than what Peter Jackson spent on his movies.
I mean, I like the promise of it. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, but the story's been told, and the story's been told in a very, very good way. Like, the movies are legendary. So...
Wasn't this a prequel?
Oh, it's not the same story?
I don't think it's the same story. I haven't read much about it, but I think it's a prequel before the events of Lord of the Rings. Thousands of years before that. I think.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
If there's a show that I'm kind of excited about, I try not to read too much about it. Like, there's just too many spoilers.
But there are a lot of kids out there who haven't seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they've still got great movies to watch.
Yeah, but they still haven't seen it and they won't watch it because for them it's old.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, that explains the Last of Us remake.
Remastered remake.
What the fuck, dude? Like 7 years old and it's already getting a remake.
That's a bunch of bullshit. That's just Sony trying to make cash in on their franchises because they know nothing new is coming anytime soon. Nothing that big. They've cancelled Days Gone 2, which I understand why, because that game didn't really sell well. But hey, it's business at the end of the day. But Last of Us, Remaster, whatever the fuck, we don't need that shit.
So I've got a hot take around Days Gone 2. And that's, nobody gave a shit about that game till the time news came.
Until it became free.
And also till the time you know, there were rumors that Days Gone 2 is cancelled. Like, there is no conversation around it. It was okay. It is a pretty damn boring game. Like, I've tried to get into it multiple times.
It is a very boring game. The pacing of that story is fucking horrendous. It's the worst game Sony has come out with ever. Game does not deserve a sequel. And I saw in the news that 15,000 people signed a petition to get Days Gone 2. You need well over a million people to, you know, to get something like Days Gone 2 made, because it didn't make money. If you didn't buy it in the beginning, what makes you think people will buy, they will invest money in it again? Video games are expensive to do. Sony is not Microsoft. They don't have that kind of money. They can't spare it. And Days Gone does not deserve a sequel because it was a shitty fucking game. I mean, the game was fun. Shitty fucking story.
I want your thoughts on this. Was all over the place. I've heard from a lot of people, the game gets a lot of fun, like, say, 10 hours into it. And to be fair, The Witcher got fun for me 6 to 7 hours into it. But is it fair on the buyer that they have to play through 8 hours of slog-worthy material to get to the good parts?
I got hooked. There are kind of multiple reasons why it didn't work. I got hooked on to Witcher right when I started because I like that vibe and I enjoyed it, to be honest. I don't know why you didn't connect with it, but I connected with this. Okay, so because that's because the game is showing you the ropes, mechanics, how they work, everything. But Bloody Baron, that is the main turning point of the game. Then it's fantastic right after that. But I enjoyed it before as well because I need to learn the new mechanics and stuff. Skyrim also, I loved it. Zelda as well. But the reason why Days Gone didn't work was because it was yet another zombie game. People are fatigued from zombie games. There are too many zombie games. In the past decade or 15 years, there have been too many of them. And Dead Island, Dying Light, fucking Dead Rising, Dead This, Dead
You've
That.
You've got The Last of Us.
Whatever the fuck.
Sony already has a fantastic Last zombie of us. Franchise.
So we didn't need another zombie franchise from Sony as a first-party game, which has pacing issues in its stories. It hits a peak and then it dips down for the next 4 hours. It hits a peak, and it's not once, it's three times the story hits a point and it takes a huge dip. You know, it's a roller coaster ride, literally. And Days Gone is not really interesting enough for it to get fun in 10 fucking hours. It's a zombie game. It's not rocket science. Make it fun from the moment you start off. Otherwise, we're already fatigued with this fucking genre. Why would people buy it? The reason why I didn't get Days Gone was like, I don't want another fucking zombie game because I'm fucking done with that fucking shit. I need something different. I need something new. Same reason why Assassin's Creed suffers at times as well, because it's just the same shit all over again and again and again. Then they copied Witcher, and now it's the same shit all over again and again and again. But Assassin's Creed has at least good stories sometimes, actually most of the times. Historically, it's a little bit accurate.
Or at least the settings are.
So the settings are, the environments are beautiful. Days Gone had nothing working for itself. It's you on a bike with thousands of fucking zombies running towards you all the fucking time. The gameplay doesn't change. There's nothing new. You get new weapons, maybe, you blow the shit up, but it's the same thing for the next, for 10 hours. Zombies chase you, you keep running away, you kill them, level done. And then maybe some story.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I didn't enjoy it at all. Some of my friends are like, you should play it so much. Like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
To play this game, I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake is the best example of doing a remaster of a game that actually captivates people. It was done beautifully. The story is on point, crisp. It's not dragged out like Days Gone. And it's just a beautiful
game. Because, I mean, at least on paper, Days Gone is the kind of game that is exactly my jam. I would have really enjoyed it. But it's
just good. It's not fun.
It's just not fun.
Yeah. And it didn't sell. So if you didn't buy the game when it first launched, you have no right to demand for a second one when you're not actually buying it.
And
Simple as that.
Reading IGN's report by Rishi, where he was talking about how the game barely sold anything at launch, and only when it got a price drop to like $2,500, that's when it started selling. And that's probably like people just, you know, buying the PlayStations and, you know, buying a pack-in game alongside or whatever.
To be honest, I wouldn't even buy. I would. I wouldn't buy a Days Gone even if it was on sale. Even if it was $1,000, I wouldn't buy it. Yeah. It's not worth it.
I'm kind of glad I didn't. Like, I got it free with the PlayStation Plus collection because it was on my wish list forever. But then I heard so many conflicting reports, and this time, like, I kind of agree. Like, it's not fun.
It's bullshit. Yeah. It's not fun. As a free game, go ahead. It's worth it because you haven't spent a single rupee.
But it's not. That's the thing. Like, even as a free game, I'm just not able to get it.
If you value your time, it's still not worth it.
Well,
I guess. Right.
Cool. So I think that pretty much wraps up our episode for the week.
Yes, it does. And hopefully, now that we've had a long break, we will get cracking with these episodes.
Yep. Onwards and upwards, much more regular. Hopefully, every week. And I think that's a wrap on this episode. Any parting words, Akshay?
Realme, please pick up your shit from my house.
while you're at it, just please pick up your stuff from my place as well.
Yeah, we're like 5 minutes away from each other.
All right.
All right.
Take care, guys.
See you guys.